Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Access Astrology. It is Ann Ortley, your host tonight, and today is a lovely April 27th, lovely day of 2009, and we are here talking to you from my desk on the Upper East Side, and I'm waiting for Heather and Mark to call in, and any guests, actually, to call in on the 347-215-8881 number. So we're going to talk a little bit about the weather ahead this week, and hopefully people will, Heather and Mark, will be able to check in. I'm looking at we're in Mercury's shadow, so we're kind of feeling the energy already. So our week ahead has a lot of interesting things coming, and we're going to talk a little bit about them today so you know how to plan and know what to do in the week and be comfortable with it and get yourself settled and ready to go. So first up, the week, you know, as we know, we've got this recent news about the swine flu, and that is symbolized astrologically by the Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron joined together, being squared by the Mercury in Taurus. So what that's doing is creating for all of us a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of fear, a little bit of craziness, and because there's planets on the world axis, it's why it's feeling so much bigger and why it's such a big deal news-wise. Mercury is on the fixed star Algol, and so that literally means that everybody loses their head and kind of gets a little crazy. So we're having a lot of craziness and a lot of anxiety and a lot of running around and trying to figure out what's going on and how it's working and what it's doing and that kind of crazy energy that we're all feeling. And that is tied to that Mercury on the fixed star Medusa's eye, Algol. It's a blinking binary star, and every 63 hours or so, it blinks, and we all kind of go, ooh, and have this kind of wake-up call. And if you think about the mythology of Medusa, you know, her head was alive with all the snakes swirling. So whenever she's in the sky and really stimulated, we can tend to feel kind of like we're losing our heads or that we're feeling maybe a little more anxious than normal. And that is really totally tied to this big Jupiter-Neptune-Uranus, which is kind of big and out of control and feeling really wide and really broad and really scary, squared by Mercury. And so when we understand what the energy is, we can figure out a way to use it. So one of the things you can do, because it is an anxious, anxiety-producing energy, is really give yourself permission to get stuff done, to kind of take that extra anxiety and that extra edge that's running around and give it a voice, give it a place to go, give it a focus, give it a direction. Because if it has a direction, it calms down, and it's much more focused and much more clean and more flowy and easier to use. The other thing we have this week is Venus is on the world axis. And when she's on the world axis, what she's doing now is she's going forward. And we are starting a new 8-year cycle around her energy because she is saying, okay, everybody, let's get moving, let's get going, let's get the show on the road. And if you think back to the spring of 2001, you started a new project back then that finished up recently or has been wrapping up and kind of taking new form, and now you're in the process of going forward with the next new project. So this week, Venus is in an aspect to Pluto. She's in a hard aspect, an aspect called a square. And so when Venus in Aries squares Pluto in Capricorn, what we generally tend to feel is a really critical need to make decisions about our love nature, our money, our finances. We have a whole host of energy feeling that we're maybe a little overwhelmed or we're in a little too deep or things are a little over our head. And that kind of energy is really very strong and very prominent. So there's a very strong focus on feeling like you need to make decisions about financial matters or make decisions about emotional matters or make decisions about love matters. Because it's a square, it can feel that the decision has to be hard or that maybe you're feeling a little pressed against the wall and feeling a little focused, a little more focused and a little less free in terms of how you do it. The other thing that's going on this week is that we're having a lot of energy that's kind of gearing us into the Saturn station that's coming up. In a couple of weeks, Saturn stops and he pivots in the sky at the degree of 15. Virgo. And what that means is that from our perspective on Earth, obviously we know planets don't go backwards, but they look like they do. So it's the kind of feeling when you're in the car and you're driving, and the other people in the car next to you are going at the same rate of speed. And you look over, and you kind of can look right in their car and see everybody sitting there just kind of talking to you, looking at you, you're looking at them. That's the station. So it's a moment of real crystal clarity. And Saturn is going to be on that degree for the next month, basically. And we're going to be sitting at this point in time, kind of getting tighter and closer and tighter and closer and more clear as he grinds to a halt and he starts to go forward. So what's going to happen is the story from September is going to be back. So if you think back to what we were doing at the end of September, beginning of October, that story is back in your life, and you have to figure out how to work with it. And the combination of that with this whole misty, cloudy, swine flu, a pan epidemic, we're all going to die, it can really feel a little intimidating and a little overwhelming. And you just need to understand, like, in that moment, to take it down, to just kind of sit quietly, to say, you know, what is going on here? Why am I so anxious? Why am I feeling so nervous? Why am I feeling so over the top? There's a real anxiety energy around and about. And if you appreciate it, it can calm a bit. And it won't feel quite so enormous or quite so crazed or quite so not like working for you. So kind of give yourself extra time this week. Mercury is in Taurus. And one of the things that I find when Mercury is in Taurus that's easy to do is to just simply put your hand on your throat and hold your neck. And what it is it's a very grounding mudra where you kind of just literally touch your neck and it calms down, I don't know, the thyroid, I'm not quite even sure what it does, but it calms everything down and it makes you can kind of almost feel your shoulders relax. Because when Mercury's in Taurus, the mind is working, but it's working in earth and it has trouble finding words. So the other thing that's very good with Mercury and Taurus is to simply lay on the ground, to feel earth, to physically get up and hold a rock, you know, go get a piece of crystal or find a rock in the street or a rock in your neighborhood and just kind of hold it and let the energy, the anxiety, the tension, the fear, the craziness kind of flow out into the rock rather than holding it in your body. It's one of those weeks where we're going to feel a lot of excess nervous energy, because Mars and Venus are also talking to the nodes, and in talking to the nodes, they're saying to them, you know, I'm really, and the nodes are going, oh man, I know, I don't know what to do about it, I know, and then they're going, and the nodes are going, I know, I don't know what to do about it. So when we have the squares to Pluto, and then we have the aspects to the nodes, it just feels bigger. It feels more fraught. It feels more anxious. And that's a real feeling. But then when you understand it, you can use it and direct it and move it into other places. So again, if you're looking to call into the show, the number is 347-215-8881. Repeat, 347-215-8881. So the other thing that happens this week is we have Mercury shifting on Thursday out of Taurus into Gemini, at which point Thursday evening he will become much more communicative, much more clear, much more able to talk and able to share his feelings, able to see things in a different level. He'll get out of Earth where he's feeling so blocked and so unable to form words, and he'll be able to get into a more fast-moving ability to change, ability to communicate energy. Now, Mercury has entered his shadow. And what that means is he's getting ready to stop and go retrograde too. Similar to Saturn getting ready to go direct, Mercury's getting ready to stop in the sky. And we know whenever Mercury goes retrograde that one of the things that happens is we have all the things that are ruled by Mercury ask us to look at them again and process with them in a different way, help them work in a new way, help them create in a new way, or help us go back and redo, revisit, revise, re-edit, all rewards are ruled by Mercury. So, or Mercury retrograde. So anything to do with communication, because Mercury rules communication, anything to do with cars, siblings, conversations, your computer, your cell phone, your iPod, your any communication device, your phone, your answering machine, all that stuff Mercury's in charge of. And when he goes backwards, what happens is appliances that are about communication tend to have problems. Things that we're working on that kind of give us a little bit of a difficulty with those kinds of things have problems. Our computer can start making noises, back up your hard drive. He doesn't station to go retrograde until May 6th, but he is kind of a big energy. And when Mercury goes retrograde, we do find that we have to go back and redo, revise, revisit. It's also when people from your past come forward and remind you, or you hear from people you maybe haven't heard from. Now, this Mercury retrograde looks to be a lot about the swine flu, that is the pan epidemic that they're making all the noise about in the media right now, because as it was announced is when Mercury went into its shadow. And Mercury, of course, does rule the lungs, and Mercury also rules communication. So this kind of energy, this is all Mercury retrograde, anticipatory energy. And Mexico, interestingly, has shut down the city through May 8th, which is the day that Mercury stations to go retrograde. So we're really seeing this as a fairly large echo across the culture. The next piece that you want to pay attention to is as Mercury enters the shadow, you will find out what your personal Mercury retrograde story is going to be about. You're going to have something happen this week, or it would have happened as of last Thursday, that said to you, this is what your Mercury story is going to be about. So think about what house you had kind of a story come to light in, particularly if you know astrology and your Gemini or your Virgo-ruled houses. If you don't know astrology, it's a story about a sibling or a communication or some kind of communication snafu or some kind of communication information that you're kind of hearing all this stuff and you're going, oh, my goodness, how do I do this? That kind of heightened energy, that's the Mercury retrograde. So your job is to really kind of just say, okay, I'm in the Mercury mode. I am dealing with it, or I'm trying to deal with it. I understand there's a lot of extra energy flying around. I'm feeling this need to take action with Mars square Pluto. I'm feeling this need to do something and change something up with Venus square Pluto. I'm really feeling the anxiety with Saturn grinding to a stop and pivoting on this particular point. And I'm feeling a little like I need a nap. Or I'm a little overwhelmed, or like I want to go home and crawl into bed and suck my thumb. Those are all really, really valid feelings right now. And if you understand that they're part and parcel of this kind of extra energy flying around, it makes life feel a lot easier and a lot more manageable. The other thing that happens is Friday is Beltane, or May Day, as it's also known in the States. And Beltane was a holiday that used to be a Celtic holiday, and it was also a holiday that marks the cross quarter. So we're halfway between the spring ingress, which is in March, and the summer solstice, which is in June. This is the middle point. So right now we're at this little magic moment. Now the premise on this is that this is the time of life. This is when the fairies return from wherever they spend their winters, and they come back to Earth. And they help to grow things. This is the time when they used to have those wild parties in the woods and go off and do all sorts of fun things to kind of honor the creative spirit among us. You can use your imagination on that one. And the other part of it was it is the moment when the veil between the worlds are the thinnest. So we have Samhain, which is Halloween on November 1st, and we have May Day, which is the equivalent season for the beginning of life. So Halloween, Samhain, marks the end of the growing season, and it's when all the souls cross that have died in the year cross over and go out into the world, go off into the other world. And now May Day, Beltane, is when the cows were sent up to the summer grazing fields because there would be no more snow, and they were allowed to go roam around the mountains and eat and get nice and fat. And it also was when we would celebrate, people would celebrate, the growing seasons and the beginning of life and the of fertility. So if you look around you and you notice the lilacs and you notice the trees and you notice the tulips and you notice the cherry blossoms and you notice the birds busy, busy, busy building nests and you notice all the life, the kittens that are being born, the puppies that are arriving, all the intimacy and the abundance and that really fresh, very pale green of spring, the buds on the trees. And if you can take time to focus on that instead of the craziness of your 401k or the swine flu that you're going to breathe and die or whatever, just kind of go, you know, what is my purpose? What is my point? Why am I here? What's really the most important thing to do? So if that's the place to sit in this craziness, in this chaos, you can't do anything about 99% of the world, but you can do something about the 5%, the part of you that's sitting here going, I'm going to get swine flu and die. It's like, no, really. You're going to be fine. But they are trying to make you afraid. What can you do? You can smell a tulip. You can get some lilacs and you can put them on your desk. You can go out and lay down on Mother Earth. You can look at the heavens. You can talk to a duck. And you can go and find a squirrel and give it a nut. These are real concrete things. You can clean out your closet. You can polish your silver. You can wash your windows. Take the energy, take the focus, take all this cardinal charge, I feel like it's running amok in my body, out into the world. The other way this energy can show up is profound depression, okay? Because it is Neptune, Jupiter. It can make you feel really overwhelmed, very weepy, and very afraid. And if you're feeling that, go to bed. You know, go lay down, put on some good music, and just cry. There is nothing better for energy like this than a good solid cry. It gets it out of you. It gets it off your body. It gets it out into the world. That's the other way to use it. So in terms of your focus for the week, when you have all these crazy energies flying around that there isn't anything you can do about, the best thing to do is know you can't do anything about it and feel the energies flow through you. Understand you're not crazy, you're kind of in tune. They're going crazy on the TV about swine flu and you're feeling kind of crazed in your body. Maybe there's a correlation. It's because as above, so below. Right now the heavens are in a very tense kind of hypercritical, crazy kind of feeling. You know, they're just wild. And it's really hard to not feel that way. Oops, there goes my computer on standby. Not a good thing. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the week ahead, you know, specifically day by day, so you can kind of look at it and go, okay, let me figure out what do I need to do here. So today, Monday, the moon's in Gemini. So Gemini is airy, fast, zip, kind of that kind of speedy, high tension, feeling really anxious. Tomorrow afternoon, on Tuesday the 28th, the moon goes void at 12:23 in the afternoon in Gemini. The closing aspect is a pleasant one. It's a nice, nice trine, moon trine Neptune, but that is a trine that will make you feel kind of a little bit past the expiration date. It's kind of one of those whoosh, going fast. The moon is void all afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, from 12:30 until 6:30, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard, Eastern Daylight Time. And the moon has a number of aspects tomorrow. Excuse me, it makes aspects to Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, and Venus, and Pluto. So she is a busy girl talking to all these big outer planets. So after tomorrow, the energy, the anticipatory, the anxiety, the crazed feeling should calm down, and it should feel a little less environmentally nutty, which is helpful. Wednesday, the moon's in Cancer. Here we have kind of more of a supportive moon because the moon is making nice aspects to the Sun and Saturn. So it's a very productive day. And the closing aspects the next day are helpful, the moon trine Uranus, which help you get projects out the door. So really save a lot of focus for Wednesday for getting things out the door and getting things accomplished. Thursday morning, the moon goes void at 12:45 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So the morning of Thursday morning is incredibly productive. The afternoon is kind of a void moon until 8:56 at night. But then it's still productive, but it's better for wrapping up things and getting things out the door. If you have papers to mail, launch them out into the world before 12:45 p.m., a little bit afternoon, and adjust for your things, your time zones. On April 30th, the Mercury goes into Gemini. And when Mercury goes into Gemini at 6:30 at night, we're all going to breathe a bit of relief because it's not going to be slogging through this heavy-duty Taurus trying to get its head up, and it's trying to figure out what to say and what to do. So that should make us all feel quite a bit better. That's Thursday afternoon after 6 o'clock at night. Thursday night at 9 o'clock, the moon goes into Leo. And 9 o'clock p.m., and that Leo moon is always a helpful moon, and it actually has lovely aspects because it's going to be trining Venus and trining Mars and talking to the Sun, and that's on Friday. So Friday should be pretty good. The only caveat on it is Venus is squaring Pluto, so you can have arguments with loved ones, but you want to kind of just be aware of the fact that if you're going to have an argument with them, do you really need to? just kind of look at them and say, instead of arguing today, why don't we just clean the closet? Or instead of doing that, why don't we just do this? Because Venus square Pluto says, I don't want to do the same thing anymore. I'm so tired of doing the same thing over and over and over. And there's a frustration because you don't want to do the same thing. But then there's also this, you're stuck doing the same thing. And it's really hard because you're so used to doing the same thing. And on the other hand, you so don't want to do the same thing. And that's kind of, the back end of Friday and all of Saturday. Saturday, Venus squares Pluto. And this is a hard aspect, no doubt about it. Venus is on the world axis. Pluto's in 3, going retrograde. It's triangle energy. So a lot of times what happens when Venus squares Pluto is we get into fights about triangles. And usually it is a triangle around love or money, could be about something else. But often what Pluto does is he sets up these power things where he says, okay, you and you, the three of us, we're gonna have a chat. And what Pluto does, instead of playing with nicely and including everybody in the game, he does 2-1. And he says, you're on my team, they're out. And then he does stuff to make them feel bad. So if you find yourself in a triangle over the weekend or discussing a triangle, like, your mother is always bop, 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 or, you never do the silverware, you always leave it in the sink, or whatever the triangle is, it's helpful in those kind of situations to open the triangle up, to invite in a third person, to invite in a third objective observer, or to open it up higher and just let the space become clean. The way triangles work in nastiness is they make you feel very focused and very locked and loaded and very trapped. The whole point of it is recognizing you have choice, recognizing you have an option on how to do it, and recognizing that there's always another way. You can complain about the glass half full. You can complain about the glass half empty. Or you can simply say, there's water in the glass, and I really would like a sip of water. And just ignore the other stuff. This is one of those weeks where it actually would be helpful to ignore the other stuff. Because you're going to be wired for bear and irritated and not in the mood. And knowing that that's what's the energy of the sky, when you feel it burbling in your body, if you understand that that's what's going on, it makes life a lot easier. Finally, Sunday, the moon's in Virgo. The moon in Virgo is a lovely moon most of the time. And in this case, she's in a trine to Pluto, so that's helpful, bright and early in the morning. Which makes this day be fairly productive. And she really is pushing at getting a lot of things accomplished. She's also going to trine the Sun, so you can really feel fairly productive and fairly like you're getting things done on Sunday. So Sunday's a really good day, that's Sunday, May 3rd, to clean out the closets or to do something fun that is about the Earth and about the celebration of life that we're seeing as it grows around us. So now if you think about the week, okay, we've got the overarching story of the Jupiter, Neptune, and Chiron joining together. That's going to be going on for a few more weeks. That aspect doesn't perfect until later in the month. So this kind of craziness, this kind of heightened anxiety, this kind of heightened fear is going to be with us for a few more weeks. The Saturn station, going to be with us for a few more weeks, going to be with us until the 16th, 17th of May. Mercury, stopping in the sky, going retrograde, going to be with us for a few more weeks. Getting more intense, in fact. So what do? You simply say, what can I focus on in this moment, in this second of time? What's the most productive thing? And focus on that. And then when you finish that, say, okay. And then you pick your head up and you go, next, what can I focus on? Remember, the world's going to be throwing a lot of stuff at you. Say, okay, I hear all that stuff. I don't want to focus on that. What's the most important thing in front of me? Focus on that. Do that. Put your head up. Say, okay, and the world's going to be throwing all this stuff at you. Say, okay. What's the most important thing? Put your head down, focus on that. And if you just keep that focus going, that will help enormously. Mars is in Aries. Venus is in Aries. They really are very, very clear. Don't let them get distracted by all the craziness going around in the world. Let them stay focused on what they're trying to do. What they're trying to do is build you your new life. Venus has spent 3 months going back and forth over this point in the sky, trying to get you clear on what your priority is. Focus on your priority. Focus on what you love. Don't focus on all the stuff you can't do anything about. You can't do anything about it. Why give it your time? Why give it the hours in your life? Focus, 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 focus. As my friend Patrice says, hold your nose and just kind of keep focusing on what you can do something about. And the rest of it, let it fall by the side. It's a very, very difficult week on Earth just because the craziness is going to try and get you carried off in it. Now, I find a lot of times when I'm having stuff like this, the other way you can use that Jupiter-Neptune is spiritual practice, chanting, dancing, moving things around, breathing, giving yourself exercise, doing things, deep breaths, deep slow breaths, because Jupiter's in air and it wants air, and getting yourself out into the air and breathing the air. I know that's kind of contraindicated. You might catch swine flu, but really, honestly, probably not. It's probably just to scare you. And think about it. Like when we have the flu, how many people actually die? Not that many. Some do. But, you know, like by and large, we all survive. So this is a scary thing, but it's a scary thing to freak you out. It's not a scary thing to necessarily be real with. The last time we had one of these aspects, Jupiter and Neptune were crazy, was the anthrax. Remember how nutty everybody was about the anthrax? But anthrax is going to come and get you. You're going to get anthrax. You're gonna don't open your mail. And it was like a couple people got anthrax, but by and large, there wasn't that much anthrax. It was a fear thing. So the whole idea, when your people are trying to feed you fear, look at what else is going on, something else going on, and then focus on what you want. Don't focus on the fear. Focus on what you want. Now, Heather and Mark appear to have been carried off by aliens. Excuse me. I don't know where they are. They didn't tune in. They didn't call in. Or maybe I didn't, you know, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe I'm not running the switchboard right. It's been that kind of day. Mercury is retrograde. It's in its shadow. It's not retrograde yet. So anyway, we have a minute left. And so thank you all for listening. This is Access Astrology. The purpose of it is to let you know what's coming in the week ahead and to let you know how to work with the energy. And I'm Ann Ortley. And my normal compatriots, Heather Roan Robbins and Mark Waltz, are not here tonight. And so you had just me all by myself. So it was great for you to tune in. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends about us. And remember, don't be afraid. By and large, you're not going to die of swine flu, okay? and for you to do that, you need to have Neptune in your eighth house, all right? If you don't have Neptune in your eighth house, that's not how you're leaving. It's always very helpful. The people that worry about flying in airplanes and dying in airplane crashes, no Uranus in the eighth house, you're not dying in an airplane crash. Neptune in the eighth, you might die from swine flu. You might just die in your bathtub from drowning, but you're not going to die if you don't have Neptune in the eighth. So don't worry about it. Only 12% of the population can possibly have that position. So hang in there. Remember to breathe. Remember to recognize that this is the 10th week and the world is crazy, crazy, crazy. And your job is to say, ah, let me figure out how to take all this crazy energy and focus it on my dream. Talk to you next week and have a great, great week. Bye.